Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
One of the greatest passages in the Bible is found in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. And when I say greatest, I love them all, but this one just really impresses me about the life on the beginning of a new Christian, a new person in Christ. Let's read Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Now, in this particular passage of Scripture, the scene is afternoon prayer outside the temple in Jerusalem. And laying there at the beautiful gate is a lame man. He's been lame from his mother's womb, which reminds me of a lost man, because when you come into the world, you're lost in your natural birth. But he's hanging around at the outskirts there of church. In other words, he's got some friends that are in church. I'm saying that's the picture. And he has no spiritual life himself, so he has no spiritual walk. He's crippled. He's told to walk in the Spirit, but he can't because he is lame. So he begs for help. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times over the years people have come to the church and they're looking for money, they're looking for a light bill to get paid, they're looking for their rent to get paid, but they're not looking for Jesus, okay? So this guy's outside looking for people that are going to the temple to give him some money. Suddenly help arrives, but it's not in the form of more religion or money. It's a couple of soul winners, Peter and John. And they could tell that the main problem this guy had is he needed Jesus, and he needed Jesus a whole lot more than he needed money. So they let him know right away. They weren't there to just lead him to Jesus. They were there to help him to rise up. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, you see, to come out of the condition of his life, which had been to be crippled, and to come up now and begin a new walk in Jesus Christ. You know, so often for soul winners, the whole purpose of their or the whole focus of their work is to get a decision. But I'm going to tell you something, that shouldn't be the sole purpose or the focus of what you're trying to do. It ought to be about salvation and about a changed life and a new walk. It's the idea that discipleship should accompany soul winning, and there are too many people that go out and they say, yeah, I got old so-and-so to pray with me, and that's the end of it. And old so-and-so goes right back to whatever life he had, confused more now than he ever was before, not sure even about the new birth. And I'm not sure that the soul winners are sure about the new birth. Sometimes they're way too quick on the draw, particularly these days. That ground is hard. There's a lot of stony ground, a lot of weeded ground, and I think that ground takes a lot of preparation for that seed to root today. Now look at the spiritual significance of everything that happened to this poor fellow the moment that he got saved, and what you're looking at is a picture of salvation and the baby steps of a brand new child of God. And this is the way the Lord intends for his children to start so they can go into full stride. Now notice some of the interesting things in this passage. If you compare the man that's there begging for alms at the temple, at the beautiful gate, who's been crippled from his mother's womb and looks like a lost man from that standpoint, and you see what happens to him when Jesus Christ saves him, notice what you see here. First of all, he needed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, okay? He didn't need the church. He didn't need the men. He didn't need their money. He needed Jesus Christ, and he needed him in the worst way. And when you are dealing with souls of men who are not saved, I realize that it's very helpful to establish some common ground in the conversation, to talk about something that allows y'all to build a relationship. I understand that completely, and I believe that and practice that. But you got to remember that at some point, that relationship, that friendship has got to move to the gospel. This poor fellow sitting here outside of the temple would never get up off of his feet. His life would never change without Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Do you see that? And he had to be saved. So when you go into visiting with people about whatever, just being nice to them, taking them pies, cakes, cookies, you know, whatever you do to try to gain that relationship, you've got to get around to the gospel. And these days people say, well, it's lifestyle evangelism. Listen, your lifestyle is not going to lead that person to Jesus Christ. They need Jesus Christ, and Paul talks over and over again in his epistles about people hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and then trusting Jesus Christ. And so eventually you've got to get it around and say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You got it? You got to get to the gospel. Or the second thing that you see in Acts chapter 3 with this man who was lame from his mother's womb is that he needed some help getting up after he, you know, after Jesus Christ was in him, after he had gotten saved. All right, he needed some help. They say to him here in verse 6, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Verse 7 says he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Lifted him up. He needed some help getting up. Why? He'd been in that case too long. You see, the early days of a soul just saved are very tough days. For one thing, there are vultures. There are coyotes. What are you talking about, Welder? I said, well, this is what you're talking about. In the world out there, you know, when calves are born, when deer are born, and you got that little fawn, and you got that little calf. There are coyotes waiting to kill that calf or to kill that lamb or to kill that deer or whatever. They're there. And in the early days, after a soul has trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, he's got to have help. You say, why is that? Well, he has had one day as a new babe in Christ, and he's had 20 or 30 or 40 or however old he is, years, okay, as a lost man. Now, you understand that? So you take 25 years as a lost man or one day as a new babe in Christ, he isn't going to know what you know about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he isn't going to know about walking in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He needs some help getting up. And that's why this idea of you just running around shotgun soul winning, coming home telling everybody you led 50 souls to Jesus or 25 souls to Jesus or whatever the case may be, is not going to work. And it's not going to work for you to say, well, I don't go soul winning because I don't want to take the time to have to disciple a babe in Christ. Listen, it is a full complement of help to a babe in Christ, and he needs some help. The Bible says he took him. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So he gave him the Lord, and then he helped him up. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up. You got to remember, you know, you see this person get saved and you see him 1 week later and it doesn't look like things have changed, but you hadn't done anything to help him up. Look, don't put it all on them. They're very, very immature. And you got to understand that. Second or third thing, I guess you could say, when he did get up, he began to get some strength. Look again in verse 7 of Acts chapter 3. Peter took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. All right, so as a new creature in Christ, he now has the capacity for spiritual walk. And there is some strength that immediately comes into his life. As a matter of fact, there are a number of people that testify, right after I got saved, I quit smoking, or right after I got saved, I quit drinking, or right after I got saved, I quit cussing, or right after I got saved, something changed. My thought life changed, or my attitude toward my boss changed, or, you know, whatever the case may be. They begin to get some strength right away. They recognize, hey, Jesus Christ is in me now, and I've got some strength inside of me that I didn't have before. You see, Jesus is in there. And, of course, Jesus is strong, right? So it should be noticeable, if the person's really gotten saved, that there's some immediate strength. But you understand, there's still a lot of inexperience in the Christian life. What happened is, we're not depending upon a feeling. You know what he's beginning to do? He's beginning to depend upon a changed life. This man was no longer lame. He had been lame from his mother's womb. Now he's no longer lame. Listen, when a person gets saved, he was lost, and now he's saved. Do you understand? He is a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So there's some strength in that. Okay, here's another thing. We're talking about baby steps. Baby steps of young Christians. Number one, they need Jesus Christ. Number two, they need some help getting up. Number three, they begin to get some strength. Okay? Now notice the next thing. This is really funny here. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now Acts chapter 3 verse 8. And he leaping up stood and walked. He leaping up. You know what? He was ready to run. He was ready to run. Have you ever seen the early zeal of a brand new convert in Christ? I mean, they are ready for action. But you know something? They have to take it easy. You see, that zeal comes with so much excitement associated with being saved, and some of that realized supernatural strength that's there now, okay, that wasn't there before. And all of a sudden, they're like, oh man, I'm around all these Christians that have been tithing and growing and reading their Bible, and I mean, the guy wants to read all of his Bible tonight, and he wants to go tell everybody he knows about Jesus Christ and see them all get saved. He wants to start giving 50% of his money, and on and on and on. He's ready to go street preaching. He's ready to put a sign in his yard. He's ready to be a deacon. He's ready to preach. This guy got up, got a little strength in there, and leaping up, stood and walked. Let me tell you something. He might have been ready to run, but he wasn't ready to run. The zeal inside of him gave him that. Have you ever watched those frisky colts? When the foals, I'm telling you, boy, they just run, and that old tail goes up in the air, and that little bit of mane goes flying in the wind, and they're running and kicking and carrying on and having a great time, not ready for the saddle. He said, boy, that old horse right there, that little colt, has a lot of spunk. Yes, he does, but he's not ready for the saddle. He's not ready for cow work. He's not ready for long rides. He's not ready for the mountain trail. He's got lots of growing up to do first. So notice the next thing. He, leaping up, stood. Acts chapter 3, verse 8, he leaping up stood. We're talking about the lame man here that Peter and John saw, that Peter dealt with about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're talking about a Christian and his baby steps, the things he goes through when he first gets saved. First, he needs Jesus. And second, he needs some help getting up. That's where the soul winner needs to be around. Start that discipleship. He begins to get some strength. He realizes Jesus is in there. There's some supernatural change. But he's ready to run, and he's not strong enough to run. And then he stood. He stood. Notice that. He leaping up stood. Now, you know what that is? I tell people, you got to get your legs under you. When somebody's been in the hospital for a while, and then they get ready to go home, and they're a little older, a lot of times they have to go to occupational therapy. And the reason is they've got to learn how to get themselves out of bed and get themselves to the bathroom if there's nobody else around to do that for them. And so they won't let them go until, or just, you know, to home, to be alone. A lot of times they have to go to a facility for a period of time until they can stand on their own. This guy leaping up stood. And that's the right thing to do. Get your legs under you, or if you've got somebody that you've been dealing with that just got saved, don't give them too much to do. Help them to learn to stand. In Ephesians chapter 6, we read about the whole armor of God, right? He said that you may be able to stand. That's what that whole thing is about. In Ephesians chapter 6, here he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 13, wherefore take upon you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore. Well, now, that guy in Ephesians chapter 6 is standing like a soldier stands after much training. But notice the key is a man that's going to grow right in Christ has to learn how to stand. And he does that early on in his Christian walk. He doesn't have to go anywhere. He's just got to learn to stand up on his own two feet as a Christian. What does that mean? Well, he's going to get saved. He's going to get excited. He's going to go to work, and he's going to tell everybody at work, you know what just happened to me? I got saved. And they're going to come in there and go, well, bam, what about this and what about that and what about eternal security and what about different translations of the Bible and what about Calvinism and what about Arminianism? And the guy is going, his knees are going to buckle under him. People are going to start telling him dirty jokes, and they're going to revile him, and they're going to say, you're a Jesus freak and you don't know what you're talking about, and how can a man get saved? I know who you are. I've seen what you were doing. And I'm telling you, with all of that stuff coming, it'll knock him down. You know, a lot of times in early on in salvation, a person will get excited and run to their family who are very religious and very indoctrinated in their religion. They'll say, I got saved. I don't need my religion anymore. And they'll say, how dare you talk like that? And the person will get saved and fold up his tent and sit right back down again. Got to learn to stand. That's one of the baby steps. Then notice in Acts chapter 3 that he walked. He leaping in verse 8, leaping up, stood, and then walked. Did you notice he didn't run? He walked. He was risen to walk in the newness of life, and he just took a little step at a time. Baby steps. Almost imperceptible. When I had shoulder surgery a couple years ago, I was told it was going to be painful. That was right. I was told it was going to take a good bit of time for rehab. It took longer than I thought. But I was prepared to take whatever time it took in order to get it fixed. And I was told that, that if I would do the rehab and all that properly, that I should have a good prognosis. And so I had the surgery, and boy, I'm telling you, that was painful. And I had to stay in some kind of a brace and sleep with a pillow, you know, around my arm. I'm not going to go into all the detail with you, for that went on for 2 months and started all kinds of therapy and so forth. And, you know, that was all a couple of years ago, and to this day, I'm getting still stronger and stronger and stronger. I've got great range of motion, don't sleep with any pain, but I'm going to tell you something. When people ask me about that, I say two things. Number one, do everything your doctor says to do. And what he told me to do, I'm telling you, from one day to the next was imperceptible. I could hardly tell there was a difference from one day to the next, sometimes even from 1 week to the next. But I knew that I was taking baby steps, and the little bit that I was accomplishing was encouraging me so much, I said, you know what, I'm just going to take another step. I had a sister that had back surgery, and she called me, and she was very discouraged because she expected to be pain-free and have some things clear up for her right away, and it didn't happen. And she called me discouraged, and I told her about baby steps, and she started journaling, and she said, you know, I could tell in any 3-day period I wasn't where I thought I should be, but I was better than what I had been. And she said it encouraged me so much I stayed with the therapy, and today you can't even tell that she had the surgery. And she's just 100% better. Now, you say, what is that all about? It's the same with Christians. Brand new Christians just have to walk, and it doesn't make any difference if they grow like a weed. They don't need to grow like a weed. They need to be able to take baby steps and walk just a little further down that road than they were last week or last month. As long as they're getting stronger and stronger, moving in maturity, it's good. That's good. Be satisfied with that. All right, and then notice the next thing. This lame man that got healed outside of the temple, in Acts chapter 3, notice the next thing he did. The Bible says, he leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple. There you go. Like going to church. Like going to church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. He went to church, in essence. I mean, in picture. I realize it was the temple, but you get the point. The best way in the world for a Christian to take some baby steps and start growing is to go to church. And I don't mean to this rock and roll concert where everything then becomes about the feelings and nothing becomes about faith. A brand new Christian ought to get into a good church and learn a steady diet of good Bible preaching, good Bible teaching, good encouragement and faith from a mature bunch of Christians who understand what it is to be saved and young in the Lord, who are there to encourage them and help them along the way. He got into church. And I'm telling you, that's where new converts need to be. That's one of the best baby steps you could ever take, is just put that foot down inside of a good church and get going there. How many testimonies have I heard of men that are faithfully serving to the Lord today on mission fields and in pastorates who, right after they got saved, found a good church and started growing in that church? Then notice something else about this fellow and his baby steps. When he got to the temple, he was leaping. You say, well, he was already leaping in verse 8. Yes, he was. That leaping was a demonstration of his zeal. He was ready to run, although he wasn't strong enough to run. When he leaped inside of the temple, it was just an expression of his joy. The Bible says in Acts chapter 3, verse 8, he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Leaping, just an expression of his joy. We say leap for joy. And that's the way it is with babies. Have you ever seen how babies coo and kick and carry on, crawl and scamper around and do all those things? That's what this boy was doing. He was now in the presence of some folks that loved him. And he was in the presence of some folks that would support him. And he was saved. And he was happy. And he was hearing, like today we'd say, hearing good hymns and seeing some folks that love the Lord, that praise God. And he let me tell you something. He was having a time. And you know something? Christians, brand new Christians ought to learn that being saved is absolutely fun. Saved is joy. Saved is happiness. Saved is the right thing to do, man. It's like I am escaped from the world. And it shocks young Christians when they come to church and all they've ever thought of is stuffed shirts and old fuddy-duddies and you can't do this and that. And you get to church and you have some folks in there that are having some genuine, good, Christian, holy fellowship and fun and happiness and joy. The real thing, not a put-on. Not something that lasts till Wednesday and wears off until you can get back over there. I'm talking about something you can take home with you. He was leaping. And also, we see here that he was praising God. Verse 9 says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. All right, what is that? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's like the public profession of faith. It's like the fellow who, I'll tell you what it is. It's like the fellow who stands up and he says, you know what, folks? I am glad to be saved. I am glad to be in your church. And I just want you to know that I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. He's my Savior. I'm living for him. And I am happy to be saved. That's praising God. He can do it when he's singing. He can do it by testimony. We'll have, on Wednesday nights in prayer meeting, we'll have a time where people can praise the Lord for something that he's done good in their lives. And it's great to hear people say, I was praying about a job and God gave me a job. I was praying about the situation with my car and the Lord took care of it. I was praying about a family member and the family member saved now. I was praying about a bill that had to be paid and it's paid now. I was praying about a health concern and the Lord's taking care of it. one thing after another. It can just go on and on and on. This guy got there and he said, folks, I was lame and now I'm walking. I was begging and now I'm rejoicing. I was hungry and now I'm full. I was lost and now I'm found. And I'm telling you, that fella was shouting it up. He was having a time. Okay, one more thing about the baby steps of a new Christian. He had a testimony. In verse 9, all the people saw him walking and praising God. Acts chapter 3, verse 10, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. They saw him walking and praising God, and they knew he'd been changed. They knew he'd been changed. He wasn't the same guy that he was before. Something had really, really affected him. And you know what it was? It was the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen. Though he was taking baby steps, he was taking baby steps in the right direction. And because because he was going in the right direction, he was getting further and further from what he used to be. He couldn't even walk before. Now he's walking. And he surely didn't have any reason to praise God before. Now he can't shut up about him. He reminds me of the man in the Gadarenes that went back to Decapolis and told everybody what happened to him. And everybody knew he'd been changed. So let's review this. And then remember, in Acts chapter 3, the scene outside the temple in Jerusalem where the lame man gets healed and rises up and walks is a great picture of the baby steps taken by a brand new Christian. First of all, he's got to be saved by Jesus Christ. And secondly, he's going to need some help up. So stick around and help him get on his feet. And then he's going to begin to notice that he's got some supernatural strength in him that he didn't have before. And then he's going to leap because he's going to be ready to run even though he's not strong enough to run. And that's that early zeal, and you want to temper that and let him settle down a little bit with you and realize that he can stand, which is something he never did before, and get your legs under you. And then he walked, and that's something he never had done before. And he realized, I'm risen to walk in the newness of life. And you know what? Little at a time. He got himself in church, praising God with the folks, and he had a testimony that caused other people to take notice that God had done something in this man's life. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.